The passage of scripture that we'll be looking at is Isaiah chapter 9, and Isaiah wrote a lot about the coming of the Messiah. The men's breakfast on Saturday morning, they're studying the book of Isaiah, and it just seems as though Isaiah is very fitting as we examine the Christmas message. And in chapter 7, we may recall, if we've read through this, he prophesied the virgin birth. And the prophecy was given to us back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it says that, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. What was that sign? What was that sign? And what does it mean to our day in which we're living in now? Well, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now, what does Emmanuel mean? You go into the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it talks about Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And so, chapter 9, our text for this series, he uses a phrase that no doubt every one of us have heard if we've paid attention to the Christmas story. It's very meaningful to all of us. And the message is given in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called what? Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. And what? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Oh, how we need that Prince of Peace in our lives today. And the message of Isaiah is that the coming of the Messiah will change the meaning of everything. It will change humanity itself. The past, the present, and the future. Because this Messiah will be God with us. He will be Emmanuel. And he will bear our burdens, he'll take away our sin, he'll give us cleansing, he'll give us hope, he'll give us joy, he'll give us peace, he'll give us all those things if we receive him into our hearts. When I told a friend of mine about how the three messages of these series that I'm going to be preaching on will be focusing on this idea that I had, he's a fellow pastor, and we try to meet once a week for coffee. And he asked the question, well, what are the three words you're going to be using? There must be love, joy, and peace. And I said, nope. Try again. Nope. These are wonderful words that we use a lot and we associate with Christmas. But this series is a little different. We'll focus on words that you will probably never see spelled out on Christmas ornaments, but each word captures the essence and the power and the beauty of this Christmas season in a way that I trust will be a blessing to all. So let's begin our series by looking at the passage which will be the foundation of our messages, for the next three Sundays. And if you would stand with me, we're going to read together from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. You can follow it in your Bible. We use the NIV. Or if you have real good eyes and would like to read it up here, then that's fine too. Isaiah chapter 9, the first 7 verses. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Please be seated. Thank you so much. And so, the word I want to share with you this morning, today's Christmas defining word, drum roll, is the word light. Light. I always like light. And one of my big beefs about living in Maine is when it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon this time of year. That is a big beef to me, and it's almost depressing. I don't look forward to it any time of the year when I have to think ahead to that. Boy, that really shatters me. And so I need to regroup. But we live in a dark world, don't we? We live in a spiritually dark world. And that darkness manifests in many different ways. And we don't have to go very far to discover that for ourselves. When we watch the news on TV, we see the trafficking of children, the murder of innocents, the abuse of power, of political corruption, and all kinds of garbage that's taking place in the world around us. And you don't have to be a genius to understand the fact that this world is dark. There's a lot of sinful behavior. There's a lot of evil out there in our world right now. And we see it all around us. We see around us, one of my real passions is people who are addicted to drugs and people who are addicted to opiates. It's a big problem here in the state of Maine right now. It's a terrible problem. I'm running into it all the time. And so there's darkness at work. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour this world. He wants to swallow it up and devour it. And so there are many who struggle with darkness on a personal level, whether it be drug addiction or whether no matter what it might be. People are struggling today. Suicide is a big issue. People are falling into the trap of suicide. In fact, not too long ago, I was able to talk someone out of suicide. And you know, this person thought that the end of the world had come. I had the privilege, well, it's not a privilege, actually. It was kind of sad because of this person's situation. And she was really in a bad state. But she talked about that. And I had to take appropriate action. I had to actually call the police on this person because I am a mandated reporter when something like this happens and somebody makes that kind of a threat. And we were able to take her into the hospital, had her evaluated, and I'm just so happy that things are working out for her right now, better than they were before. But suicide is a major issue, especially this time of year, for one reason or another. I don't know, but this seems to happen. I spoke with a discouraged young guy a week ago, actually right here in Bodenham, and I had never met this person before. And this person said, I just don't see anything getting any better for me. I introduced myself as the pastor at the Bodenham Second Baptist Church. And all of a sudden, this guy just kind of opens up and starts talking about his problems. And I said, wow, you know, I'm glad to be able to help. I'm glad to be able to bring some, hopefully, a little bit of civility to the situation. But he said, I don't see things getting much better in this world, and I don't see them getting much better in my own world right now. So, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the fact and understand the fact that there are people who are in very desperate situations right now, all around us. And we have an opportunity because Jesus Christ lives in you and me. We have an opportunity to help people understand light rather than darkness. And it's for this purpose, it's for this reason that Jesus came into this world, to shed light, to shed the light of glory, to shed the light of forgiveness, to shed the light of love. That's why we're here, because we are his ambassadors. You know, this young guy had all kinds of talents and intelligence and all kinds of good things going for him. And yet he still made that statement. And that's the kind of thing that bothers me. You see, the curse of the fall is that sometimes we find ourselves struggling through this life with darkness all around us, globally and individually, hitting us as we turn on the television news and as we think of someone even in our own family that's going through a very tough time right now. And I want you to know that the message of Isaiah, the message of Christmas, is that Jesus, the Messiah, has come to reverse the curse. He's come to reverse the curse. It's that curse of darkness. It's that curse of sin. It's that curse of hell itself that people are living through that Jesus came to reverse and to change. I want you to know that today. There are some here today, you may look around and your experiences that you see more shadows than light. You're more discouraged than you are encouraged. And I want you to know that it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to know that God has come in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to provide a better way. He's come to reverse whatever curse you may be facing right now. It says so right here, verse 1 and 2. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. All right? Let's settle that. It'll not go on forever. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. What a great promise. A light will shine if you are walking in darkness, if you'll only reach out and accept that light. And that light is Jesus. That light is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. He is, as the Gospel of John says in John 1:9, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone who calls on his name. He's the light. He's the author of light. He's the one who imparts that light. And he's the one who desires you to live in the light. And today I want to talk to you about three ways we can experience the light of Christ in our lives. We can experience it. We don't have to give it. We don't have to give in to darkness. We don't have to give in to the curse. We don't have to give in to whatever the enemy sends your way. Because if you are a Christian today, the Word of God says that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen. You don't have to give in to that. That's not you. God says, I have a better way. And this is the way. That way is to know the light. And the first, there's some characteristics about that light I want to share with you. Number one, that light marks the destination. It's a light that marks the destination. Let me give you an example. About 3 or 4 months ago, in my other job as a limousine driver, I was picking up a client at the Portland Jetport and took him to some place in northern New Hampshire that I had never been before. I mean, it was the end of the earth. Well, you could see it from there. Actually, it was over, you could see Canada from there. Maybe that was the end of the earth. You can see it from there. And I get on this road late at night, and it was pitch dark. Have you ever been on a road just dark and, I mean, dark, dark, dark? This was dark. And I had no idea where I was. I was trying to follow my GPS, and it was a little bit foggy. And every once in a while, a deer would jump out in front of me. There were lots of deer up there. And boy, I said, this is a great place to go hunting. And so, anyway, it was a windy road. Way up in northern New Hampshire, almost at the Canadian border. I had no clue where I was. I'd never been there before. All I could do would be to try to see where the next bend in the road was. I could only see ahead of me maybe 100 feet or 100 yards. And that was it. It was such a dark night. I had no idea where I was headed. I had no idea what town I was in. I only know that the client that was in the back of the car didn't know either. And so he was back there reading a book, just as content as could be. Anyway, I just said, well, you know, I'm going to have to take this 100 feet at a time then. I'm just going to have to face every corner as it comes. I'm just going to have to, no matter what, try to get there little by little. And eventually I got there. But it was a process. And it was challenging. And I happened to make it back that night, too. Obviously, I'm still here. And I took a different road. My GPS sent me on another road that supposedly said it was a little faster to get back to my home base. And that road was the same way. So I had to take every turn as it came, and I had to drive slow. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of the fact that, you know, up ahead, you have to take it little by little, little bit by bit. And you got to look for your destination. Another reminder of that was a few years ago when, on a mission trip, I went to Honduras and spent 10 days in Honduras. We arrived in Tegucigalpa, which is the capital city of Honduras, in the middle of January. And I don't know why people like to go on mission trips in January and leave Maine or New England. But we did. Beautiful weather, 75 degrees, and we arrived there, and everything was dark. Apparently, there was some kind of a storm, a rainstorm, and all the electricity was out. In many of those third world countries, it doesn't take much to put out the electricity. In fact, while we were there, electricity was going out all the time, day and night. And the whole city was in darkness. Tegucigalpa is a big city, almost 1 million people. Everybody was in darkness. But the one thing that caught my attention was that up on a hill, on a mountain, if you will, overlooking that big, beautiful city of Tegucigalpa, was a cross. It was a huge cross, similar to the one that you may have seen in Rio de Janeiro during the Olympics. But over the city of Tegucigalpa was that big cross, and there was a light on it. And I'll never forget what God said to me, the fact that, you know, light dispels darkness. I looked to that cross, and there was a point of reference there. There was a point of focus. And when I saw that big cross overlooking the city of Tegucigalpa, it was almost as though everybody else was looking towards that cross too, because it was the only light. It was the only thing that people could see. I was certainly looking at it, and I was thinking of it in perhaps a different way than maybe someone that didn't believe, and I'm sure many of us who did believe thought likewise. And that was that, you know, this cross is something that lights our lives up. Not the physical structure itself, but it's the symbolism. It's what Jesus did on that cross. It's how he brought light into our lives as a result of the cross. of his sacrifice on our behalf. There are many times in our lives when there's not a lot of light around us. And all we need to do is go out tonight, and you'll see that there's probably not a whole lot of light around you unless it's all lit up. But there's a light in the distance that keeps you moving in the right direction. And that light is the cross of Christ. That light is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That light is the glory of God revealed to us through Christ and what he came to do. You know, darkness affects me so much that last week I had an electrician come and I put a couple of great big lights outside my house. Because when I come home at night, I want the lights on. I want my yard lit. I want to know where I'm at. And that's just how light affects me. So, light itself, the physical light that we're able to experience, is something that's meaningful. But more importantly, it's the light of Christ who shines in my heart and gives me strength to move on and live for him. There'll be times when all the direction you receive, and by the way, it's all the direction you really need, is a light in the distance that moves you forward. Like that cross on the top of the mountain in Tegucigalpa. That's all we all needed that night. That was our reference point. A light in the distance that moves you towards the journey, towards knowing Christ. That may reveal itself to you in many different ways. And like a lighthouse out over the coast of Maine, and we have many lighthouses up and down the coast of Maine, the fact is, he will never move. Those lighthouses will be there, and they've been there, many of them, for a long time, and they've never moved. Jesus Christ will always be there. He'll never move. There will be times when the only thing you know to do is to keep moving in the direction of the light. Heading in that direction, in those moments, his light will be enough to guide you and direct you and to give you what you need down deep within your soul. So that's the first thing I want to mention about a light. And the second type of light that Christ brings into our lives is the light you need at every turn. When I was driving this guy from Portland Jetport to northern New Hampshire, I just thought of just miles and miles of wilderness up there. It seemed to me that at every turn, I was wondering what was around the corner. And I realized that to get where I needed to go, I almost had to take a step of faith, or in my case, my foot on the gas pedal had to take a little step of faith in how I was going to get that vehicle and to get this client to where he needed to go. I believe myself that we need that light every single day. And Jesus Christ is the one who gives us that light. There have been times in my spiritual journey when I couldn't see much more beyond the reality of today, beyond the reality of this moment. And I had no idea what might happen next. I've experienced it myself. Through sickness in the family, through disappointments in the family, through disappointments in my own life. I had no idea what was going to take place the next day. No idea. Had no possible way did I know. I had no idea what was going to wait for me around the bend. Even as I was driving to northern New Hampshire, I had no idea what was going to wait for me around the bend. It was kind of fun, actually, to see what was going to be around the bend. But in my walk, in my life as a Christian, tomorrow could be totally different from today. This afternoon could be totally different than this morning. Who knows what's going to come? But as Christians, we need to know what it is to walk by faith and to trust God for what's around the bend, for what's around the corner, for what's coming up next. There'll be times when the only light you have is just enough to get you to the next turn. And in those moments, you'll discover that all the light you have is all the light you need. Do you get what I'm saying? All the light you have now is very possibly the only light you need. It may be a different situation later on. And the light for the moment, this light enough for the next turn, comes from our time in the Word, God's Word. What does God's Word say about light? It says a lot about light. It says this in Psalm 119, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And many times we take this Bible and we put it in a corner someplace or we put it on the coffee table. It collects dust. That's all that happens. We don't open it. And we don't see the fact that as we open it, there's light for me there. There's something here that the world cannot give me. That CNN or Fox News cannot give me. There's something here that the world cannot give me, and that is God's guidance, God's leading, God's direction. And oh, how we need it. Oh, how we desperately need it. There'll be times when you cannot see around every twist and turn, but you'll have light enough for the road in front of you. In times like that, that's when God's Word comes to bear. That's when we, by faith, receive God's Word to our hearts and allow Him to lead us and guide us. And that's why it's important to spend every day with Jesus in His Word. One of the greatest Christmas gifts of all is this Bible, this holy book, God's Word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Will you say it with me? His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It really is. It really is. I believe it. And then the third thing, the third type of light that Christ brings into our lives is this. And that is the light of a sunshiny day. Just like today. It's cold out there. Yeah, I know, up in Aroostook County, they got 2 feet of snow. And some places in Maine. And that's beautiful. I've seen some pictures the last couple of days of some absolutely amazing winter pictures and winter landscape. It's beautiful. That's why we're so blessed to live in Maine. And you know, the light of a sunshiny day is the promise for all who believe. It really is. Do you know where the bluest skies in the world are? Must be my wife. You know where the bluest skies in all the world are? No, I'm talking about this physical earth. Montana? Yeah? Florida? Anybody tell me? Well, I'm talking about this earth. Cape Breton Island? No. No! The bluest skies on the face of this earth is in a place called Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Studies have been done. There's never a cloud in that great city. Remember that? It was a place last summer where they had the Olympics. And it's an amazing place. But nonetheless, you know, I think of that and I realize that God wants us to have a blue sky in our hearts. And, you know, here's the point. Do you know where the bluest skies of life can be found? It's in the presence of Jesus Christ. The bluest skies of life can be spent following Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and having a relationship with Him. The bluest skies of your life, more than anything else, is found in a walk with Him. We walk with Him. We talk with Him. We tell Him that He's His own. And the joy we live as we tarry there, nothing will compare. It's in the presence of Jesus. You'll never hear from me that a life of following Christ is a Sunday school picnic. You'll never hear from me saying that if you give your heart to Jesus and you become a Christian, that everything is going to be rosy from here on in. No. There's nothing, you know, that's untrue. It may just very well become totally changed forever. And it may not always be good, but at least you'll have Jesus with you. His light will shine in your life. Those who follow Jesus never lack light and never lack for sunshine. Never lack for sunshine. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness. I don't know where I'd be apart from that truth. I really don't. I would be down in the dumps all the time. This is why he promised us a life full of abundance, a life full of joy, a life full of peace. Because when we follow him, we walk in the light of his word. When we follow him, we walk in the light of his light. His presence makes the light in our lives bluer and brighter than in any other context. And so, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, as Isaiah says. We've sat in darkness. We've been in darkness. We've wallowed in the muck and the mire of darkness. We've been in the down and the out of life. But it says we've seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. Light has shined. We live in a land where death has cast its shadow, not only physical death, but the death of hope and the death of dreams and the death of ideas and the death of our plans for the future, the death of politics, the death of this, that, everything else. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. What we see here now and experience now is only but temporary. What is of eternal significance is what's the most important of all. When the book of Revelation talks about eternity, it talks about a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And the apostle said, and the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The Lamb is its light. And I would say that the same is true for those who have surrendered their lives to following Christ. You have no need for artificial light. You have no need for anything that's conjured up. You have no need for manufactured happiness because the glory of God illumines your life, and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is your light. He is your light. And even in your most difficult days, when darkness is falling around you and you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is the light in the lighthouse. He is that light, that lighthouse that illumines darkness all around you and keeps you moving in the right direction, the direction you should go. And even when the road is full of twists and turns and choices and decisions you may not be able to anticipate, you may not know what's up around the bend, he is the lamp for your feet and he is the light under your path. Like the headlights of a car will guide you along the way, he is that light. That's because he is the light of the world, Jesus. This Jesus, born 2,000 years ago in a manger full of straw, surrounded with stinking animals, surrounded by sheep and lambs and you name it, this Jesus loved you so much that he came so that you might have life and you might have light. Have you received him? Do you know him in your heart? If you haven't, I invite you to receive him. If you do know him, I invite you to claim that light. Claim it. You can have all the light you need for the day and for the journey when you allow Jesus to light up your life and light up your world. Christmas season, I'm hoping that you will make it a habit day by day to look to the light and to move in the direction of Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for that light that we have in Jesus Christ, that He is the light of the world. May He be that light in our hearts today. In His name we ask. Amen. And we're going to sing together, "The Light of the World is Jesus."